M19. Number 3A.
We just finished when we came to the crucial question. Well, that's how a journalist does his story, you know, he stops there where the crucial question comes up. So that crucial question that has puzzled the whole field of Christian Science over and over is, are the synonymous terms freely interchangeable or not? And being synonymous, naturally the term synonymous means that in one way they are interchangeable and in another way they are not interchangeable. And so the question was always, how can we define each synonymous term so that we have a defined identity of each synonymous term, clearly distinguishable from every other synonymous term. And up to now, as far as this has been undertaken as a study, and I have seen dozens of these things by teachers, lecturers and committees and so on, they have never come to a clear-cut solution. So that one could say, mind means only this and this, whereas spirit means that and that. Why is that? Because it seems that it should be easy to define that. The only thing one has to do is to take the concordance and take the synonymous term, like mind, and then go through all the references that Mrs. Eddy gives on mind, and see through which qualities or attributes Mrs. Eddy defines mind. That she would say the power of mind, you see, and you feel, you know, mind has to do with power. And when one does that, which seems to be the easiest thing, the most logical thing to do, to go to the books and distill out of all those 3,000 references on the seven synonymous term, the qualities, the characteristics of these terms, one ends up with a terrific muddle. And that's what everybody has experienced all through the times that they were doing that. Because you can't do it that way. This is the atomistic approach. It's the belief that each synonymous term has only a one value and not a value of relationship. And therefore, one never could find out a clear answer. Have you ever? I know you haven't. Nobody has. Until one began to see that one must approach this study structurally and not atomistically. Now, this may be difficult to figure out what that means. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to tell it to you anyway. So, but I only want to present the subject, the problems, the problematics of it. Namely, that these synonymous terms are not only used in its own value, but very often in relationship to other synonymous terms or to the values of other synonymous terms. And therefore, we must use another text interpretation, another method of text interpretation, namely a structural method of text interpretation. I say that you can't figure out at all what that means. Don't mind. It doesn't matter. Because these are the things that need years and years of study and explanation and so on. This is not something I just can put over to you in an hour or two. It's not possible. We have been working on that for ages, but it's easy. It's easy. The moment you make up your mind that you want to investigate this subject and you have a good class or a good leading instructor to show you the method, it's easy and it's beautiful. But the only thing I wanted to bring out with it is, see, that it is again this obsolete, antiquated method of the classical scientific age that believes in the atomistic approach that stood in the way of really getting the true meaning of the seven synonymous terms. Because for that we need other rules of interpretation, and we have to know these rules or it doesn't make sense. What these rules are, I can't tell you here, it will go too far, but that's what was happening way back in 1938-39. At that time, John Dorley took with two other teachers and a few journal practitioners, I was in there also as a member of the study group, we took about 7-8 months and went through the books from beginning to end with every synonymous term, I don't know how many times, studied it intellectually and spiritually with both of it, and finally somehow we could sort out the rules that Mrs. Eddy used in the synonymy principle, which led finally to what? It led finally to the results that you, for instance, have in the compendiums are here on sale too. In the compendiums you have a resume, a summary of all the terms or all the characteristics of the qualities and attributes that belong to mind, those that belong to spirit, those that belong to soul, principle, life, truth and love. So each one, when he knows the rules, when he knows how to get at the text in a structural way, can prove the findings himself. It's so that when one is a master of the right way of text interpretation, that you don't have to believe John Dorley or me or anybody. It's all in the textbook. So it only needs the key of interpretation, really, that opens up the whole thing. But the moment we had now lists of ideas characterizing mind, and a list of ideas characterizing spirit, and another of soul, and of principle, and life, truth, and love, we had those identified, clearly identified and clearly differentiated concept of the seven synonymous terms. Therefore we had the elements on which Mrs. Eddy founded her science. Actually no bigger subject than the subject God. And God is defined through the seven synonymous terms. So if you do that study, you do the biggest study on earth. Nobody in all, since mankind existed, has undertaken a bigger study of greater importance than when you investigate the seven synonymous terms. You learn to know the true nature of being, but in a differentiated way, and not like the mystics in an undifferentiated way. While we're having lunch, somebody asked me about Mrs. Eddy when she was teaching the synonymous term and so on, and I remember that students of hers who have been in her classes remember that in the class around about 1888 or 89, in her last classes she gave, that she presented for the first time, as she said, the seven synonymous terms. She said that up to that time, the students were not able to think on such a high level as to understand Christian Science on the basis of the synonymous term, but up to that point she had to teach on the level of thinking of good thoughts, good arguments, and arguments pro and con, and so on. But that she was so happy, as those notes go, that she could at last teach a class on the basis of the synonymous term. And the student left the following remarks. He said that Mrs. Eddy said, upon the truth of the seven synonymous terms rest the basis of science. So she brought out very clearly that the seven synonymous terms are the basic elements of our science. Now, we have naturally to learn that. In every science, you first have to learn the elements. If you learn chemistry, you have to learn the chemical elements first. If you learn arithmetic, you have first to learn the digits. Without that, you can't do anything. And so every science has first its elements that have clearly to be defined clearly, and upon that rests the science. She also said that, in fact, they are the science. That's very interesting, that in fact they are the science. They are being, the signs of being. And she said that if we would understand those seven synonymous terms, this would heal every case. So we can see the importance that Mrs. Eddy put on a right apprehension of those seven synonymous terms, giving us really the elements of being. Now, as we were studying those seven synonymous terms, we were studying them along the order that Mrs. Eddy gave on page 465, the question of what is God, answer, God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. And we were therefore taking first mind through the whole textbook, and then spirit, and then soul, and principle, life, truth, and love. And naturally we were very happy then to find the right interpretation, because at the same time we found something new. Namely, that this order, you see, we speak now about order, relationship, that this order is the order of creativity, the creative word of God. That order is an order, as I said, like the days of creation, is an order that defines the creative nature of one being. Just like the Logos, the word, the Logos, is always the creative aspect of deity through the word. Through the Logos, all was made that was made, and there was nothing made except through the Word. So we begin to see something quite important, namely that the order of the synonymous term define another category than the nature of God. Sorry, I have to explain that better. You couldn't quite grasp it. You see, that first, we had to define each synonymous term by itself clearly. That's the first step, so that we know our elements. But then, when you put them into the order, as Mrs. Eddy gives them on page 465, one can see that this is the order of the Word of God. So the Word is again of a different category than the synonymous terms. The synonymous terms define the nature of being. Whereas now the Word is showing the creative flow of these seven synonymous terms. And this was interesting to see, because the moment we began to show our findings to the students and to other people, well, hell was let loose. It was just hell was let loose. At once we had the order from the board of directors that we are not allowed to teach, that I was there a younger, I just had made my PhD, and I had a group of young people around me, and I was trying to give to the young people these ideas, and so came the word from the board of directors to stop that at once, or woe to you. John Dolly was rebuked for having these meetings where we analyzed the synonymous term. A scientific investigation is not allowed, in the Christian Science Church. This is not allowed to think. So, no, we are not. So at once, naturally, the critics stepped in, and that was a good thing. They brought up a terrific criticism that needed to be examined. They said, you people just say that this is the order of the world, that's the order how God is defined. You not even think, not even look at the textbook properly, because if you would look at the textbook properly, you would see that Mrs. Eddy uses those seven synonymous terms also in other orders. For instance, you can see that when Mrs. Eddy uses the seven synonymous term in the scientific translation of Immortal Mind on page 115, there she says God, and then column, then divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. A completely different order. So they say, you are nuts, you know. Mrs. Eddy can use these seven synonymous terms in any old order. And just look at page 150. And this was a very good thing, because it made us realize that we must define also another category of being. What is this other category of being besides the seven synonymous term? Well, Mrs. Eddy says, I have written a textbook called Science and Health with key to the scriptures. This key to the scriptures contains first the chapter Genesis and then the chapter Apocalypse. In the chapter Genesis, she presents God in the sevenfold order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love through the 7 days of creation. In the chapter on Apocalypse, she doesn't talk about the nature of God in that way, but the climax of that chapter is the city foursquare, the four sides of the city, and she says, the book closes with this highest sense. And capitalizing those four sides of the city with world, Christ, Christianity, and science. So you can see suddenly we began to realize that there is another category that is defining being, the divine being, namely the four sides of the city, again capitalized terms, with a completely different office than the synonymous terms, namely with the office of defining the operational sense of being. Those four show the operational sense of being. It shows first in the word how being states itself as what it is. The Christ says, now I show you how being translates itself to the point of idea, that the Christ is that self-translating office of being, translating itself to every detail, the whole translated to the parts. So it's a translating sense, you see. It's an operational sense. Christianity, which he shows as the outcome of this translation in Christian history, therefore depicting the operational sense of demonstration and of reflection in the whole of being, of the whole universe. And then the four side signs, which explains really the word, the Christ and Christianity. So we could see that up to that point we were only actually investigating one big category of Mrs. Eddy, one big category of capitalized terms, namely the synonymous term, and that was not enough, that something was missing, namely to see how being operates in divine being, as word, as the statement of God, as the Christ, the translation of God to man, as Christianity, as the demonstration and the reflection of God in the universe, in the whole of Christianity, and science as interpreting and explaining really being. So when we saw that, we began to understand that the word can be stated through the seven synonymous term in the order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That the Christ, in its translation office, coming to man, coming to each individual situation, has a quite a different order, because it has a different purpose, it has a different aim. The meaning of each synonymous term takes on a different aspect because it's in a different relationship. And so, in order to bring out the translation fact, thought runs along the order of principle as life, truth, and love, translating itself through soul to every point as spirit, then purifying every situation, and as mind, manifesting the specific idea in its fullness. So that every time in practice we have to consider the argument that God does not translate itself to the point of idea, that God does not demonstrate itself, that God does not come to every situation, we can counteract that, because that's an argument of the Antichrist, that there is no translatability, and therefore we do well if we just flow, you see, in our understanding along that divine order of the Christ, of seeing principle being always self-operative principle, that self-operative principle always impelling life, impelling every idea of life, as truth always having dominion over every situation, as love wanting always to save. But how does it want to come down to the idea? By saying that soul says, I exchange every belief into an idea. And through that exchange of a belief to an idea, as spirit, I begin to clarify and purify every situation, and bring it through every chemicalization and crisis, so until finally only the pure idea stands out, so that finally, as mind, you have only the manifestation of the divine idea. Well, this is a terrific, powerful order that is used in that Christ translation. So in the same way, we began to see that Mrs. Eddy had a third order, namely in the glossary, where she explains the Christianity standpoint. I don't want to go into it any further. I just want to show you that the moment you have another side of the Holy City, another operational aspect of being, that the synonymous term must be in a different order. You see? You can see that very easily. The moment I give you a simile, an example from another field of science. Take arithmetic. When you teach the little boy to count, you teach them always the upward way. 1, 2, 3, 4. You don't teach them 10, 9, 8, 7. Yeah? Because that establishes first the ascending line and gives us first the order of the digits, so that we have a good grasp of each digit and the place value of each number within those 10 digits. But when you have to explain subtraction, then you don't say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because subtraction is another category and defines you how you should use now your digits. At the moment you say subtraction, you have to say 10, 9, 8, and so on. At the moment you say no, now we have multiplication, then you take multiplication. Or division. Again, those 10 are different. See, this is a simile which you can figure out what really Mrs. Eddy tried to convey. She wanted to give a whole operational sense of science. She said, this science is not just to define God what he is, as if he were a stagnant thing, but as a very operative power. And so she had to explain those four operations of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And according to that, we have to use the seven synonymous terms in a different order. And that order, I can't explain it to you right now. You see, this is a wonderful subject for a class or so. But it is a very natural order, a very powerful order. The moment we can think spiritually, the moment we can think of these seven synonymous terms in their value and not as terms. As long as you just know those seven terms, they don't mean a thing. But the moment we know the inner value, the spiritual value, the inner nature of those seven synonymous terms, they begin to yield a terrific spiritual sense and impact. Yes. But you know, even when we had that, it took us a few years. Some things just that didn't seem to click yet. Seems as if something was missing. There were still questions that seemed to be paradoxical in the textbook, and this is always the case for every student who takes up the textbook, that if he is a thinker, that very soon he finds out that from his point of view, there are many contradictory statements. From his point of view. I don't want to be mistaken that I say from Mrs. Eddy's point of view. Huh? But from the student's point of view, he says, God knows no sickness, and the next moment he says, God heals sickness. Now this is a contradiction for a student. Huh? It hurts the logic, the classical logic. Now the point is that naturally Mrs. Eddy does not contradict itself, but that our logic is not good enough for that. And this is another terrific big question, that Mrs. Eddy used a different logic than the classical logic in her textbook. What that logic is, I can't tell you right now. You have a tape on it that lasts 5 hours, and then you get a little bit of it, what Mrs. Eddy used as logic. But that's the big thing, because the ordinary student approaches the textbook with a logic he has learned in school. And what we have learned in school up to the present time was a classical logic, the Aristotelian logic of the Greek. This is not the logic that Mrs. Eddy uses. Mrs. Eddy uses the logic that has been found out today, not that the logic that they had 100 years ago. Because today, in modern physics and in modern science, they can't use anymore the old classical logic of the Greek. They have to use the trans-classical logic. Whatever it is, don't bother about it. Huh? I just tell you, it's another logic that she uses. And therefore, when one knows that logic, there is no more contradiction.